The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On you, Husky!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush with Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a mutual note for you.
You'll hit a jackpot of pleasure every weekday morning when you stay tuned to Mutual. Listen to Queen for a Day, the program that spent more than $5 million in gifts to queens during its long history. But the queens chosen every program would tell you even $5 million don't properly represent the granting of heartfelt wishes, the magic wand waving that transforms dreams into reality. Mornings on Mutual hold even more. There's Ladies' Fair and fun for everyone with Tom Moore as MC of a carnival-style show. Good humor and laughter rise to new heights every weekday on Ladies' Fair. You can hear news, too, every morning on Mutual. 5 minutes of late headlines to keep you informed and up to date on events from Korea to Capitol Hill. And mornings are merry with music when Kurt Massey time brings you an interlude of song with Kurt Massey and Martha Tilton. Tune to Mutual for shows worth a million. Hear Ladies' Fair, the news, Queen for a Day, and Kurt Massey time every weekday morning over most of these stations.
Sergeant Preston was traveling east toward Point Mercer. The policeman was on patrol, mounted on his black stallion with the great dog Yukon King running alongside. As they rounded a bend in the trail, Preston saw another rider ahead of him, slumped in the saddle. The sergeant studied him for a moment and then murmured,
"Well, that man needs help. Come on, King.
Get up, Bucky.
Well, Bucky, what now?
Help. Help me.
You've been wounded.
Shot from ambush. Robbed. I cracked my head on the rock.
Easy there, steady. Who are you?
Name's Conway. Sandy Conway. You're a mounted.
I'm Sergeant Preston. There's a doctor in Point Mercer.
Take me to him, please.
Conway. Oh, he's unconscious. We'll take him to the doctor, King.
An hour later, the sergeant reached Point Mercer with Sandy Conway riding double on Blackie. The Mountie had held the wounded man in the saddle while Conway's horse followed. Doc Benton saw Preston draw rein.
Whoa, Buggy, whoa.
And hurried from the house to greet him.
So you brought me a patient, Sergeant Preston?
Yes, Doc. Man has a bullet wound.
I figured something was wrong when I saw you holding him in the saddle. I'll help you take him inside.
All right.
Easy now.
Sandy Conway was carried into the doctor's office. There his head and his wound were examined carefully and the bullet extracted from his leg. When the bandage was in place, Preston asked,
"How's his pulse, Doctor?"
"Stronger, but he's still unconscious. He got a bad bump on his head, and he's weak from loss of blood. But I think he'll be all right. Who shot him?"
"I don't know. He lost consciousness before I could question him. It's all right with you, Doc. I'll stay here until he's able to talk."
"Of course it's all right."
Within a short time, Sandy regained consciousness. He opened his eyes and murmured,
"What?
Relax, Conway. You're going to be all right."
"Where am I?"
"In Dr. Benton's house."
Oh, now I remember. You're the Mountie who found me."
"That's right. And this is Dr. Benton. He removed the bullet."
"Howdy, Conway."
"I'm much obliged to both of you. Where's my jacket?"
"On the chair."
"And there's an envelope in the pocket."
"What envelope?"
"It's addressed to Bob Chestnut."
"There's no envelope in your pocket, Conway."
It must be.
"The sergeant and I searched your clothing for identification papers while you were unconscious. Your pockets were empty."
"Empty?"
"That's right."
"That dirty dry gulcher must have taken the envelope as well as my cash."
"Did you see the man who shot you?"
"No. I wrapped my head on a rock when I fell from the saddle. It knocked me out. Critter fired from ambush."
"Too bad you didn't see him."
"The loss of my cash is bad enough, but that envelope..."
"What was in it?"
"A message for Bob Chestnut. Young Bob's the nephew of a friend of mine named Pete Chestnut. Pete had gone prospecting and he found old. But he got sick before he could file a claim. He wrote that message for Bob before he died and made me promise I'd deliver it.
Do you know where the gold is?
No. Pete and I were friends, but he didn't trust me that far. I reckon he didn't want anyone but Bob to know where to find the gold.
Now, this time, the man who robbed you is probably on his way to file claim of that gold.
To do that, he'll need more than the message he stole.
Huh? What do you mean?
The note tells Bob to look into the last present Pete sent him. A lot of numbers are in the message, and it likewise says that by putting the present and the numbers together, Bob would know where to find the gold.
But without that message, the boy will never find it.
Doggone. I promised Pete I'd give Bob that message.
Where is Bob Chestnut?
He's due to reach the town of Prosperity in a day or so. He'll be staying at a shack Pete built on the far side of town.
Does he know about his uncle's death?
No. No, Pete died a long ways west of here at my cabin in the Caribou Hills.
Oh.
He'd been prospecting beyond my place somewhere. When he got sick, he came to me.
I see.
I've got to get going to Prosperity.
You're not going anywhere, Conway.
But I promised Pete...
That was before you were shot and robbed. You'll have to stay here until you're strong enough to travel.
But someone has to tell Bob about Pete dying.
I'll tell him, Conway.
Uh-huh?
I'm going to Prosperity to see a minister named John Reform. While I'm there, I'll look for Bob Chestnut.
I'd appreciate that, Sergeant Preston.
Sergeant, what about the man who shot Conway?
I may also find him in Prosperity, Doc.
Oh, what makes you think so?
If he has Pete's message, he'll probably look for Bob.
Why would he do that?
He'll need the present Bob received from his uncle in order to find the gold.
After leaving the scene of the shooting and robbery, Roxy Purdy had traveled steadily in an easterly direction. It was early evening when he drew rein at a way cabin beside the trail. He dismounted, took the saddle from his horse, and entered the cabin. In a cupboard, he found supplies, which he used to prepare a meal. After he had eaten, he opened the envelope that bore Bob Chestnut's name. As soon as he read Pete's message, he realized its importance. It was an hour later when his friend Gabe Winter arrived at the cabin. While he heated and served food to Gabe, Roxy told about the trail robbery earlier in the day.
That gent was carrying $200 in cash, and I was plenty glad to get it. I was broke when I stopped him.
So you got $200, huh?
Yeah.
How about lending me some of it?
For what?
I had a brush with the law.
What about it?
I need cash to travel. A Mountie named Preston told me to clear out of the Yukon.
Why?
Crooked gambling, for one thing.
They can't jail you for that.
Maybe not. But if I stay in the Yukon, the police will be watching every move I make. I'll be better off to clear out before they get evidence enough to put me in jail.
I've got things figured out, so it's neither the Mounties or anyone else will bother us, Gabe.
What do you mean?
When we're rich, we'll be able to stop running from the law. We'll be respectable citizens.
You're talking big, Roxy. $200 doesn't make us rich.
I'm talking about gold. Lots of gold.
Huh?
Look, I took this letter from the man I robbed today. It's addressed to a fellow named Bob Chestnut.
Never heard of him.
According to this letter, he'll be in Prosperity at a shack belonging to his uncle.
Who is his uncle?
Pete Chestnut. He wrote the letter. Pete struck it rich, but he got pneumonia before he could file claim to the pay dirt. He figured he was sick enough to die, so he wrote the letter to his nephew.
Tell him where to find the gold?
Well, yeah.
Well, let's get it.
First, we'll have to see Bob Chestnut.
What for?
Because the directions to the gold are written in a code of some kind. To break the code, we'll need Chestnut's help.
Well, why should he help us? More than likely, he'll turn us over to the law. And that letter might convict you of murder and robbery.
You'll not have a chance to go to the law.
All right, what do you mean?
You just leave it to me, Gabe. Now, if you want to go along with me, I'll cut you in for half of the gold.
Well, I'd like to help you, but...
But what?
I don't know how you're planning to deal with young Chestnut.
I'll handle Chestnut.
I don't want to be mixed up in killing anyone, Roxy. Like I said, the money...
If there's killing to be done, I'll do it.
Well,
I'm offering you a chance to get rich. Do you want it or don't you?
Well, if you're sure, I'll not have any trouble with the Mounties because
of it. All I'm sure of is Pete Chestnut's gold, and I aim to get that gold. If you don't want a share of it, well...
I want it all right, Roxy. I'll go along with you.
Good. Now hurry and finish your meal. We've got a long trip ahead of us to Prosperity, and I don't want to waste any more time getting there.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Thank you. We're right in the middle of mobilization. Americans are serving their country in the armed forces, in defense plans, and in civil defense agencies. Here's how everybody can become a partner in building his country's security. Buy as many defense bonds as you can. You're investing in your own security, too, when you buy defense bonds. You're saving toward things like a home of your own, college for the children, a retirement fund. You can do this three ways. There's the payroll savings plan. You authorize your employer to set aside a certain amount from your paycheck. He uses the money to buy bonds for you. For those who are not on a payroll, there's the bond a month plan. Your bank issues the bonds in your name, charging the purchase price to your checking account. And if you cannot take part in an automatic savings plan, you can always buy bonds at any bank or post office. However you work it, buy bonds, buy as many as you can. By doing so, you not only contribute to your country's defense, but you also contribute to your own security. Now to continue. When Bob Chestnut arrived in the town of Prosperity, he looked around for someone who could direct him to his uncle's cabin. He passed a rambling frame building that fronted on Main Street. The sign nailed over the door identified the building as a church. Carrying his satchel, Bob went inside. Another man was already there. His clothing was rumpled, but as he turned to greet Bob, he seemed unaware of his disheveled appearance. He smiled warmly and extended his hand.
Hello, stranger. I'm John Reform, the new minister for this church.
I'm glad to know you, sir. My name's Bob Chestnut.
Well, Bob, why not put down your satchel and rest for a few minutes?
Oh, thanks.
Are you leaving Prosperity or just arriving?
Oh, just arriving, sir. I came here because I thought you could tell me where to find my Uncle Pete. I know he attends services regularly.
Well, there haven't been any services in this church for several months, Bob.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Since the last minister left, there's been no one here to conduct them. You see, I'm just as much a stranger as you are. I arrived about an hour ago by boat. For a time, I thought I'd never reach Prosperity.
What do you mean, Mr. Reform?
Well, sir, I had to wait 2 months in Seattle before I could book passage to the Yukon. The steamship company said no boats could reach port because of the ice.
Oh, I know, sir. I caught one of the first ships that left the States this season.
Yeah, so did I, Bob. But when I reached Alaska, I was advised to travel by scow to Prosperity. My informant said it was the fastest and the easiest way to make the trip. Well, son, don't ever look for the easy way to do things.
Why not?
Well, in the long run, the easiest way is the hardest way. At least that was my experience. The scow I was in capsized at the rapids in Thief River.
Oh, that's a shame.
And everything I had was carefully packed in oilskin wrappers, but when the boat went over, I lost my baggage. I arrived here with the clothes I'm wearing, and that's all. Even my Bible is gone.
Well, it's too bad you couldn't save some of your things.
I tried, but everything went downstream so rapidly that it was impossible to go after it. Besides, one of the men in our party couldn't swim, so the rest of us were busy trying to help him. But more than anything else, I miss my Bible. I feel lost without it.
I'll remedy that for you, Mr. Reform.
Huh?
I have a Bible in my satchel my Uncle Pete sent me for my last birthday. I'll be glad to lend it to you. Here it is.
Well, now that's mighty kind of you, Bob.
I wouldn't offer to lend it to you if I didn't want you to have it, sir. Use it until you're able to get another. Well, go ahead, take it.
Well, thank you, sir.
You can see that book's been handled a lot. My Uncle Pete always kept it with him. I reckon he knows it by heart.
You said he gave it to you?
That's right. He wanted to give me a present on my 21st birthday, but he wrote and explained he'd had a run of bad luck. He had no cash to buy anything, so he sent me his Bible.
It's a fine gift, Bob. Does your uncle live in town?
Oh, no, sir. His place is a couple of miles from Prosperity. Maybe someone in the trading post will be able to tell me how to find his cabin.
Well, I'll go with you while you inquire. I want to become acquainted with the folks who will be members of my church.
Oh, sure thing. I'll be set to leave as soon as I close my satchel.
Bob, this Bible means a lot to your uncle. He may not approve of you lending it to me.
He'd lend it to you himself if he were here, sir. Besides, you'll return it as soon as you get another one.
I'll take good care of it.
Oh, I know you will. Well, now, if you're ready, let's go to the trading post.
I'm ready, Bob.
The two men left the church. Bob carried his satchel, while his new friend, John Reform, carried the Bible Bob had loaned him.
They entered the trading post where they identified themselves. Bob asked the trading post owner about his uncle.
Pete went prospecting several months ago, Bob. He hasn't come back yet.
Oh, I thought he'd be at his cabin.
He told me you'd be here to visit him this summer. You see, he stopped here to get supplies before he left town.
Well, do you know where he is?
No, but I hope he strikes pay dirt. It's high time Pete's luck changed for the better.
You're welcome to stay with me until your uncle returns, Bob. My living quarters are next door to the church.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Reform, but I'd rather go to Uncle Pete's cabin. I'll wait for him there.
You'll not find many supplies on hand in the cabin, Bob. I'll get some ready for you to take with you. Then I'll tell you how to find Pete's place.
Roxy Purdy and Gabe Winter had entered the trading post. Standing near the counter, they overheard enough of the conversation to realize Bob's identity.
There's Bob Chestnut, Gabe.
You just follow this north trail a few miles out, and you'll see this cabin just off to the left.
The storekeeper's just finished telling Chestnut the way to his uncle's shack.
Keep your ears open, Gabe. We'll be heading that way ourselves.
I'll tell you about it. With that satchel to carry, you'll never be able to manage the supplies, Bob. If I were you, I'd go to the livery stable and rent a horse and rig.
Well, that's a good idea, Mr. Cook. I'll do that.
I'd be glad to help you, Bob.
I'll go rent a wagon and come back here to pick up the supplies, Mr. Reform. I'll appreciate it if you'll help me load them on the way.
I sure do, Bob.
Chestnut's leaving, Roxy. Do we follow him?
No. He'll be back. While he's gone, I'll buy some cartridges for my gun. Then we'll head for his uncle's place.
Roxy and Gabe were already on their way to Pete Chestnut's cabin when Bob Chestnut approached, driving a light wagon.
Oh, hold it. Ho, now. Well, hi there, strangers. You're going my way. Climb aboard the wagon. I'll give you a ride.
Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. Come on, Gabe.
Right. You're heading for a cabin a couple of miles from here. I'll take you that far.
That'll be far enough, mister.
Are you all set?
Yeah.
Get up.
Roxy and Gabe rode silently to the cabin where Bob drew rein.
Oh, hold it. Yeah, this is as far as I go.
We'll give you a hand unloading your supplies.
Thanks, I could use some help. I'll carry the flour and molasses in my satchel. If you'll bring the bacon and the rest of the victuals, I'll be much obliged.
When his luggage and the supplies were inside the cabin, Bob turned to thank his helpers.
If you two would like to share a meal while I... Hey, what's the idea of the gun?
You're covered, Chestnut. Don't try a fast move.
This a stick-up?
What do you think? Close the door, Gabe, then search him for weapons.
Right.
Keep your hands up, Chestnut.
Oh, if you're after my cash...
One more than cash.
He's not carrying a gun, Roxy.
If I were, I'd use it.
Take it easy, Chestnut.
All you have to do is answer a few questions for us.
Yeah, that's right. Give us the information we want, and we'll let you leave.
I don't have to give you any information.
This gun says you do.
Yes, I see.
You might as well be sensible, kid.
Oh, what kind of information do you want?
What was the last present you received from your Uncle Pete?
He sent me his Bible. Why?
His Bible?
That's right. What about it?
Roxy, you must have made a mistake. A Bible won't help us find that gold.
What gold?
We're asking the questions, and you better give us straight answers. Are you sure that's the last present you got from your uncle?
Why, of course I'm sure. He sent it for my birthday last January.
That must be it, Gabe.
But how can a Bible...
As I remember it, the Bible's made up of chapters and verses. Right, Chestnut?
Oh, yes, but...
And that's it. The numbers refer to the pages, chapters, verses, and words. You savvy, Gabe?
I'll savvy better when I see what you mean. Where's the Bible?
Why, I don't have...
Why, you...
That'll teach you to give us straight answers. Look in the satchel, Gabe. Maybe it's inside.
Right.
You won't find it in that satchel.
Why not?
Because it isn't there.
Yeah, he's telling the truth, Roxy. There's no book in his bag.
What did you do with that Bible?
I loaned it to the minister in town.
In Prosperity?
Yes.
Come to think of it, Roxy, that Sky Pilot had a book under his arm when we saw him in the trading post.
Was that your Bible?
Yes. He lost everything he owned when his scow overturned in Thief River. That's why I loaned him the Bible.
What'll we do, Roxy?
I'll go get the Bible from that preacher. We'll tie and gag young Chestnut, and you stay here to keep an eye on him.
You're coming back here?
I'll be back. And if I come back without that Bible, I'll blow Chestnut's head off.
A short time later, Sergeant Preston arrived in the town of Prosperity. He passed the church and approached the modest living quarters next to it.
Whoa, Blackie. Whoa, boy. Whoa, now.
A light burned in the window of the minister's small house as the policeman drew rein and dismounted. He opened his saddlebag and took out several pieces of clothing as well as a book. Then he walked toward the house.
Come on, King.
Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Reform.
Oh, a policeman, eh?
I'm Sergeant Preston.
Come in, Sergeant Preston. That's a magnificent dog you have, Sergeant Preston. What's his name?
King.
Come in, King. What brings you to me, Sergeant?
About a week ago, sir, I found several pieces of baggage washed ashore with the wreckage of a scow along the banks of Thief River.
Oh, yes.
I examined the baggage and learned it belonged to you. Your name and address was on it.
I lost my baggage when the scow overturned.
I thought as much. I gave most of your things to a freighter. He'll bring them to town for you next week. But meantime, I brought a few articles of clothing and this book with me.
My Bible. Let's see. The oilskin wrapping protected it. It wasn't damaged at all. Sergeant Preston, I'm very grateful to you.
Well, that's all right, sir. When I opened the cover of that Bible, I noticed it's in the German language.
That's right. It has been in my family for many years.
Oh?
In the German language, as well as your own, the Lord's word is beautiful. I wish there was something I might do to repay you for recovering it for me.
I'm glad I was able to help you, sir.
Will you stay and have supper? I'd be glad of your company.
Thank you, but King and I are on our way to Pete Chestnut's cabin.
Well, Pete isn't there, Sergeant Preston.
I know. I'm looking for his nephew. Do you know if Bob has reached prosperity?
Indeed he has. He's at his uncle's cabin. And if you're going there, would you return his Bible to him?
Of course.
He was generous enough to lend it to me when he learned that I had lost mine. I hated to take it from him, boy, but he was so eager to help that I accepted the favor. I'll appreciate it if you give it to him with my thanks, Sergeant Preston.
I'll be glad to. Come along, King. Goodbye, Mr. Reform.
Goodbye, Sergeant, and thanks again.
On his way to Pete's cabin, Sergeant Preston passed Roxy Purdy. Roxy was driving the wagon Bob had rented in town. The Mountie had no reason to suspect Roxy of any wrongdoing, and since the darkness concealed Preston's uniform, Roxy didn't realize that a policeman was on the way to the Chestnut Plates. A short time later, the sergeant drew rein outside the cabin and knocked on the door. Thinking it was Roxy, Gabe Winter hurried to open the door.
Hi, Roxy.
When he saw Preston, the crooked gambler and petty thief turned pale.
Gabe Winter.
Hello, Sergeant Preston.
What are you doing here?
Well,
you were warned to clear out of the Yukon.
Well, I'm on my way out.
Then you've been traveling the wrong way since I saw you last. Where's Bob Chestnut?
Well, he isn't here.
In that case, I'll wait for him inside.
No, you can't come in. Stay out, I tell you.
At that moment, the great dog King moved past Gabe.
Hey, that dog!
He pushed the door open wide, and in the lamplit room, Preston saw Bob Chestnut tied and gagged. Realizing what would follow the discovery, Gabe reached for his gun. Preston saw the gesture. His own gun was out of his holster before Gabe's.
I hoped you'd try that, Gabe. Finish that jaw, and I'll break your arm.
Finish
it, or drop your gun.
All right. You win.
Now raise your hands. That's better. On guard, King. I'll put handcuffs on you and then free your prisoner.
Now wait, Sergeant Preston. Give me a chance.
You had a chance to clear out of the Yukon, but you didn't take it. I knew if you stayed, you'd get into real trouble, and this is it. If you're carrying the letter Pete Chestnut wrote to his nephew, you'll be tried for robbery and attempted murder.
No, I don't have it. Search me if you like, but I don't have it.
There, these handcuffs will hold you. Now I'll look for that letter.
I don't have it, I tell you.
You seem to know what I'm talking about.
I didn't have anything to do with that shooting.
Then how do you know about it?
I'm not talking. You see, I don't have that letter.
Perhaps your prisoner will be able to tell me more about it. I'll remove that gag in just a moment. There.
Oh, thanks, Sergeant.
Now, cut these ropes. Tell me what happened.
As briefly as possible, Bob explained everything that had happened.
And I thought they were loco when they asked for my Uncle Pete's Bible. That crook Roxy wanted it so badly, he went to Prosperity to get it from the minister.
He'll not find it in Prosperity, Bob. I brought your uncle's Bible back to you.
Huh?
The minister has recovered his own, so he wanted to return yours. It's in my saddlebag.
And Roxy finds out that Bible isn't in town.
I'm going after Roxy.
I hope you get him before he tangles with the minister.
Before I leave, Bob, I have some bad news for you. Your uncle struck it rich some distance from here, but unfortunately, he didn't live to enjoy it.
The sergeant told Bob Chestnut about his uncle's death and the letter Pete wrote after finding gold. Then, leaving the great dog King to help Bob guard the prisoner, the sergeant took Bob's Bible from his saddlebag. He gave the book to Bob and started for Prosperity. His big black horse seemed to understand the need for speed.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, no.
When he halted in front of the minister's house, Preston dismounted quickly.
Good work, Blackie.
Without waiting to knock, the Mountie opened the door.
He
entered with his gun drawn.
Hey, what's that?
Roxy, you're under arrest.
I'll catch you, Sergeant Preston. Oh, my arm!
You're no faster on the draw than your partner.
Oh, I'm hurt. You shot me.
It isn't serious. I'll bandage it after you're handcuffed.
Oh, you're making a mistake. You've nothing against me.
If you're carrying a letter you took from Sandy Conway, there'll be enough against you to convict you of robbery and attempted murder. Will you search him, please, Mr. Reform?
Of course, Sergeant Preston. But for what?
For a letter that belongs to Bob Chestnut.
I'll look in this pocket.
Leave me alone. I don't have any letter.
Well, here's one. See, this letter begins, "Dear Nephew Bob," and it's signed Uncle Pete Chestnut. And in it are a lot of numbers.
That's the letter.
Well, here, Sergeant.
Thank you. I'll see that it reaches Bob Chestnut.
What has this man done?
He took this letter from a man he shot and robbed on the trail near Point Mercer. Then he came to Prosperity to rob Bob Chestnut. Did you have any trouble with Roxy, Mr. Reform?
Not at all. He came here and asked about a Bible. I told him mine was a German one, so he asked me to translate certain passages.
Yeah, if it had been written in English, I'd have taken it and cleared out of here before you showed up, Preston.
Bob Chestnut has the Bible you wanted, Roxy. When I took it to his cabin, I found him tied and gagged with Gabe Winner standing guard. But Gabe wasn't alert. I arrested him and freed Bob. You and I will return to the cabin to pick up Gabe and my dog, King. Then we'll start for Dawson.
Sergeant Preston, what about Bob? Is he in trouble?
No, Mr. Reform. But Roxy's troubles are just beginning. This case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. Mutual's evening lineup of great shows fits every taste. You can hear comedy, drama, mystery music, and quiz programs. And more evening news throughout the week than on any other network. The adventure spots of the world, or the small-town neighborhood just like your own, are at your fingertips with their full quota of drama and comedy. Young and old alike can find their favorites for good evening listening on Mutual. Whether you choose thrilling tales of danger and excitement, or the chuckling humor of true-to-life family situations, stories for escape from the world around you, or news information on the important issues of the day, you can find them all on Mutual. Casts that have been making show business history shine in roles tailored to their particular talents and ensure you quality entertainment. Stay tuned to this station and prove to yourself that it's always a good evening on Mutual. Choose your favorites every evening, all heard over most of these stations. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, there's been a new development in the death of Mike Dean.
Yes, sir?
When he was found, it was assumed that he had slipped and fallen from the top of the bluff. That before he regained consciousness, the cold had killed him.
Has the doctor finished with his examination?
Yes, but it was a skull fracture that caused his death.
Oh?
And the fracture couldn't have been caused by a fall. The man was murdered. It's your assignment to find the man or men who killed him.
Yes, sir.
The men who killed Mike Dean were confident no one could trace the crime to them. But during one stormy night in Dawson, Sergeant Preston, by careful investigation, drew closer and closer to the truth. And as the killers realized this, they decided the sergeant must be their next victim. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Sunday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Sunday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.